Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
And I'm Lona.
We are sans a member tonight.
I feel like I feel kind of a phantom limb syndrome going. Do you guys feel like a pressure?
Like you were waiting for the, and I'm Lona.
I don't. Well, I haven't seen her since last week. So I'm wondering if that text we got today came from her, or if it just came from the person who's living in her house now.
Yeah, I also wonder that.
And they knew that if we saw them.
I will say that as of Sunday, she was alive. I saw her when I dropped her child off
after
my kid's birthday party.
Okay. Well, I tried to Skype with her the other day, but she, like, somebody at the house had, like, gotten, like, cake batter on the little camera, so I just had to assume it was her. Like, she was talking, but I couldn't tell if there was someone else there.
Right.
So I didn't know. I couldn't see the other side, but she seemed to be. She said that, you know, things were a little weird around the house, but that, you know, I trusted that it was fine.
Right. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
It was a level one.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Like, I assume things will turn out okay. They usually do.
Right. Nobody you know ever has bad things happen.
No. No.
That's always someone else.
So, I mean, you know, she did sound like things were starting to get a little freaky. Like, she didn't want to necessarily, like, she kind of asked me, like, hey, because, you know, I was just like, hey, what's going on, Lona? Why can't I see you? And she's like, oh, well, you know, this other person, I don't really know, smudge stuff on the camera. And then she kind of leaned in. She was like, hey, would you call the cops and tell them to come to my house?
Call the police.
Yes. A large pizza.
Ren and Stimpy.
Yes. Yeah.
So hopefully that'll turn out okay.
Was that when they were trying to sell rubber nipples? And
yes.
It was a horse that the man had?
Yes.
That's a weird
show.
No,
sir. Don't like them. You have to sell rubber nipples for my pet walrus?
Call the police.
I thought it was a horse in my head.
The horse answered the door.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
the horse answered the door.
The horse always answered the door.
Let's not think too much about it. We'll just, you know.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Everything's fine.
Unless I'm told otherwise, it's all fine.
It's fine, Brian. It's fine.
Thanks, fine.
So next week, Lona or someone who sounds eerily like Lona. We'll
or not at all like Lona, but we'll just accept that it must be.
Wearing a wig.
The cold.
Well, that's good enough for horror movies. We'll go ahead and just keep on plodding away.
So this week's movie, I feel, is odd. Recently, we've had events that align with our podcast in very odd and eerie ways. Would you guys agree with that?
I'm trying to remember anything else.
There was the one the week where the Faces of Death that aligned with the reporter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there was another one. Oh, there was another one where something happened the week. We were like, oh, we told. Oh, the lion thing. When we watched Roar.
And the slugs.
When the slugs overtake that city. Slugville. No, I just feel like weird things. Or maybe I'm just. It's confirmation. Is that confirmation bias where you see things where you want to see them, not necessarily where they are truly there?
I think this one is
confirmation bias because it's really not anything.
The lion and the other.
It's really not anything like this movie at all.
It's that we made it like it.
We made it like it. It made for a good intro. I feel if we're gonna already navel gaze like four minutes into the podcast,
we gaze at our navels a lot.
We gaze at our navels a lot.
I'm looking.
And yet, there's always lint. I navel gaze a lot, and yet there's lint.
Always.
It truly. I mean, I'm sure there are comedians who've based whole careers off of belly button lint jokes.
Oh, I bet.
But it really is a mystery. All right? It's always a mystery.
Nice. It's actually not. It's just like your clingy belly hair just pulling all that fuzz and just collects all.
How come the rest of my body doesn't pull hair off like that?
Well, I mean, just in
that's place a good question. Well, I mean, it's like
I have plenty of places for it to go.
Brian, I think it's because it's kind of like the dryer trap. Like your belly button is the dryer trap of your body.
Yeah. So make sure to, you know, to clean it out every once in a while so you don't start a fire.
Yeah. You don't want like a trash fire to break out on your nutsack.
I mean, that's not a problem because usually around 10 o'clock at night, I'm going to go digging in my belly button.
Just, you know? is it 10:30 already?
If I'm sitting on the couch waiting for a cutscene, that belly button's going to be
digging for gold.
Oh, man. Yeah, I feel like that's the perfect time, because what else are you gonna do? You can't skip it. You keep hitting circle, nothing's happening. You hold circle, if the skip thing doesn't pop up, you know, you're just stuck.
Biggest problem I think I've had with my kid playing video games is he wants to skip every cutscene immediately. Like, oh, I don't care. Skip.
You've got to watch it the first time.
That's what I said too. It's like,
me too. We're old though, but we're old. Like, I think.
Well, we play for story.
Yeah, I think the younger generation, they, if I can generalize about an entire group of people, the younger generation, like, there was a point where we all talked about story and video games as art, and I think that the younger generation, maybe to their credit, has ignored all of that. Like, it's all about emergent gameplay and like what just comes up as you play. Like, who gives a shit about the story? Which, video games have never been great with story, with a few very rare exceptions.
Let me interrupt you, Tyler. As a father, I'm just kidding. I just want to be an asshole.
As someone who actually has a child.
No, I was alluding to the asshole Facebook comments of, as a mother, like, nobody asked you that. Nobody cares. I mean, you didn't need to justify that. You could just give us your opinion. You being a mother has nothing to do with this.
Why don't you tell us what you think as an asshole?
Yeah. As a mother, I think cheddar cheese is the best kind of cheese.
Well, that's what a mom says, so.
Oh, damn it. I got it wrong.
you struck out on that one.
This week's movie is the question I always have, do you make the Shyamalan joke? Like, do you mispronounce the name on purpose, or do you make an earnest attempt to pronounce it? Like, how do you fall on that scenario? Like, is it, do you ever make the joke, or are you ever like, however you say it,
you're gonna say, like, you know, Shyamalama ding dong?
Yes. So I tend to really dislike those people.
To be honest, I've never really known how to pronounce it. And if I did at one point, I have forgotten over the year. And I just pronounce it Shyamalan.
Well,
Shyamalan.
Okay, Shyamalan.
I don't know. I'm just offering a difference of...
I think the funny thing is he's made it where it doesn't matter. I just call him M. Night.
M. Night, yeah, it's true.
M. Night.
I think he did it on purpose, too. He's like, nobody, they're going to murder this last name.
Well,
he should have just gone as M. Night.
First name that he... puts it as an
Marrakesh.
It should have just been Marrakesh Knight S. Has there ever been a director whose last name is just an initial?
It's Manoj Nilayatu Shyamalan.
Okay. That's
Jesus Christ.
So he just made up Knight. M. Knight.
Sure.
Has just been a last name director? No.
But just an initial. Like Marrakesh Knight Alien.
Yeah, SPG, and there's Tarsem.
No, but the last name is just an initial.
Right.
Oh, no, like,
none that I know of.
Like M. Knight S.
None that I can think of right off the top of my head, I'll say.
Like Brian C.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be... McG is probably the closest proximity to that. Hand grenades, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Horseshoes?
You're going to hit.
So...
The Visit.
What is this the best M. Night Shyamalan movie since for you?
Who's going to go first? You want to go? Me go first?
Sure.
To me, this is the best M. Night movie since. I want to say probably since The Village.
Ooh.
I'm going to say that because.
Fair? Okay.
I'm going to say that because I think I love The Sixth Sense. I love Unbreakable. I love Signs. I didn't dislike The Village, even though it was really predictable, and I liked the actors and I liked the story enough to kind of get into it. Now, yeah. Lady in the Water, I was out. I was like, mm-mm.
I've never seen Lady in the Water.
It's not good. Did
something come between Village and Lady in the Water?
No, I think it was Village and Lady in the Water.
Yeah. I don't.
Then The Happening.
Within The Happening, Airbender.
Last Airbender. And After then Earth. After Earth. Whew. The Visit.
Woo.
His last five have been rough.
Let me
just say that I understand the problems with The Village, but I still enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
I saw that movie in the theater, and I thought that the first act of it, / first act and a half of that movie was terrifying. I thought, like, holy shit, this is scary. Like, the scene where the blind girl's outside of the house, and the thing, you know, the monster... what you presume to be the monster shows up, you're like, holy shit, this is creepy. But then once the reveal happens, it so ruined the rest of the movie that I just was out. Like, I just could not abide that. What would it be called?
It's almost what Hot Tension does to destroy everything before it. Yeah. But it comes so late in Hot Tension that I can lop that off.
Yeah.
And still salvage the rest of it. I nailed the goddamn village in the first act. I leaned over to the girl I was with and I was like, if this is modern day, I'm going to be so angry. And then it was, and I was like, well, I'm pretty much out at this point.
Well, I think at that point he was so considered the twist guy that he was trying to twist a twist. Like the
It should have just been straight up, or at least the monster. You could have done a twist on the monsters of it being the parents, but don't make it modern day
right,
as well.
Right, right, right. Like I can see that. I can see where you're coming from with that. It's like the monsters were already a twist, but now we're going to twist it again by saying, oh, it's modern day.
Like, I think a better movie would have been they pretended to be the monsters to keep the kids away from the real monsters that were actually in the woods. That is a much more terrifying proposition.
Now, wait a minute, Tyler. Didn't they do that? Because the real monsters are
modern
us.
Day, yeah. We're people.
The real zombies are humans.
I have a hard time not counting this movie for him, and so because I want to put some pluses in his column. So I would say since Devil, which is technically a Jean-Eric Dowdle film, but he provided the story for it and produced it, and he was trying to do some series of he was producing a series of horror movies at that point, but his name had become such
shit
mud at that point that it didn't fly. But Devil's really good if you haven't seen it.
Devil's good.
Yeah,
interesting.
Otherwise, I'd just say Signs.
Interesting fact: the name Mud actually relates to something other than dirt. Like when you say someone's name is Mud, it relates to
the Lincoln
assassination. Interesting. So yeah, I would say Signs. I came out of Signs really positive. Like I came out saying like I call my family members and was like I love that movie.
What'd you call them?
Shirley.
Family. Family, gather close.
Surely, family, come around the fire. I have a story to tell you of aliens.
But
have you heard the? Have you seen the alternative explanation of Signs of what it is instead of aliens?
No. What is it? What is it?
There's another theory going around that it is not aliens, it is in fact demons. Hence the whole idea of good versus evil with Mel Gibson.
He's the evil one, right?
Yes. But no, about how... You, look it up. I'm not going to get into it because I'm going to mess up a lot
of
stuff.
Oh, I won't.
All right, well, or don't. No, those listening can look it up. But I really go with the idea that it is they are aliens. But it's an interesting read. And I'm always interested about that stuff because I always have those little ideas, but God, not enough to flesh them out like sometimes people do. No. You know, you're like, dear God, how did you came up just like the idea that R2-D2 is the main character in Star Wars and you know, all those things that the fan theories, you're like, Jesus Christ, how much time do you have to think about this?
Yeah, well I taught Star Wars one time. We were teaching a lesson on terrorism and I taught it from the reverse angle, teach it from the Empire side and the rebellion, they're just terrorists.
Yeah.
And everything that we learn about the rebellion of the Empire comes from terrorist number one, Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's just telling all these lies to Luke about how awful
the
they are.
Osama bin Laden of the Rebel Alliance.
Well, did you know, another sidetrack, that there's
a
fan theory too that the reason the Emperor they created the clone army was not, and the Death Star were not to enslave societies, but to guard against this bigger enemy that was out there that came in later in the later series of books that have now since been, you know, J.J. Abrams said, no, we're not, that's not no longer canon, but
Aftermath canon though.
Yeah, but they are, it's a good story about how the idea that, I mean, yes, you can see how you can compare them with the Nazis, but the but how, yes, the rebellion are terrorists.
Yeah. I mean, totally. I mean, they are. I mean, terrorists in the eye of the beholder. I mean, essentially. Right. Yeah, I mean, they blew up the Death Star.
They blew
there
up.
There were people
right.
on the... You can't tell me that... All right, never mind. I think an interesting point to come at from the visit about M. Night is he was so far ahead with Unbreakable. Like, yeah. No one was making superhero movies then, and he makes a meta superhero movie, comic book origin story that's not a comic book origin story that I still think is my favorite of his movies.
I do, too. I think the problem with The Sixth Sense is that it was such a colossal... I mean, people still... That movie came out in 1999, right? Mm-hmm. People still say they were dead the whole time as a punchline to something every day around the world. Like, people still say that shit as though it hasn't lost all of its meaning. It's really bizarre. So
There's an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia where M. Night supposedly filming a movie in Philadelphia, and that was like the... You know, he filmed that movie, The Sixth Sense. Oh, the twist? Like, yeah, the guy was Bruce Willis the whole time.
So it was such a cultural, like, breakout hit that I don't think the movie holds up as well today. Like, it's still a fine movie, but it's still, like, that movie of all of them is so contingent upon the twist. Being interesting. I think Unbreakable is one hell of a movie. I think Signs is entertaining, but I've watched Unbreakable the most. Like, it's just an entertaining movie, and it's like Bruce Willis is actually acting in that movie. Like, he acts his ass off in parts of that film. Like, who's the wife in that movie? Was it Robin Wright?
Right, and
she was also like, the two of them had great on screen chemistry, I thought.
I think the problem with Signs is that nobody knew. I mean, of course, like people like us who liked superheroes, when we started to understand what was going on, we're like, oh shit, right? Yes, oh right. And then everything became clear. That being the twist, and I think there are a lot of people who didn't get that the twist was Samuel L. Jackson is trying to create his superhero to his supervillain.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
there really isn't a twist. That's the thing. Everyone talks about him always doing twists. There really isn't a twist Unbreakable.
No, just a reveal. A reveal. Yeah. You're right.
And that I would argue is the thing with The Visit. There is no twist to The Visit. No. There's a reveal in The Visit. Mm-hmm. There are twists in all these other movies that everyone gets to. But honestly, are they just all reveals?
Yeah, because I was going to say in Signs, it's not really a twist. It's just a
reveal.
Coincidence.
I mean, like, they're just reveals.
These are things that now make sense to us.
I mean, I guess The Sixth Sense is a twist.
Yes. I would say The
Sixth Village is a twist on what you thought was going on.
Sure.
But it wasn't, like, I even think that there's a twist and a reveal in The Village. Like, the twist is that they're pretending to be monsters. The reveal is that they're pretending to be monsters. The twist is that it's modern day.
Right, yes.
And they somehow convinced airlines not to fly over. That was the part where I was like, really? Really?
Post 9/11.
So that leads to my question then about The Village. About The Visit.
I was like,
So he's so ahead of his time with Unbreakable, and then The Visit might be its biggest weakness. Might be the fact that he's making the greatest follow-up to Blair Witch Project, which came out the same weekend as Sixth Sense. Just made this as his second movie. Said, "Hey, this found footage stuff. This is cool. Let me make one."
That is still one of my favorite, still one of my favorite memories is going to see The Sixth Sense because we couldn't get into the Blair Witch Project and not knowing anything about The Sixth Sense except that Bruce Willis was in it. Like, all right, Bruce Willis. This kid sees dead people. It's gonna be scary. And I just remember, Mike, the gentleman who draws our logo, like at the end of that movie, like turning to each other and being like, "Holy fucking shit!" Like it was just so absolutely blown away by what we had just seen.
I saw that movie just on a computer screen. I was like, it was when I didn't have a DVD player. I watched stuff on my computer and I watched it, and then I drove I got in my car and drove around for like 2 hours to contemplate that movie because I was so blown away by it. I was like 16 years old. I was like, I can't believe this fucking movie exists. Like,
I was 35. So
it was last year. I think The Visit. Like, I really like that movie a lot, and I agree
with you too.
I think M. Night Shyamalan is an easy target, and I think people relish in making him feel like shit, partly because he was heralded as this, like, which is partly his ego to blame, but also he's got a big ego. But I think it's also that people really like taking pots. People want to see a guy like that fail, and I judge this movie merely on its merit and not on who was making it. But I really, really, really liked it a lot.
That's another thing I think is funny too, is, you know, there's a whole generation now that, like, when I went and saw it, and you took Jackson.
I took Jackson.
And when I went and saw it, there were a number of young teenage girls behind me that were just going to see this new horror movie that saw a preview for it. They didn't have a fucking clue who M. Night Shyamalan was. They didn't know they were supposed to be. They were supposed to think it was stupid and silly that he was doing this. They didn't know that they were supposed to, you know, be derisive about everything he does.
Or hold their noses up about it.
Yeah.
My kid went and saw it as a scary movie. Like, you know, I took him there because it looked like, and Drew and I mentioned this in talks a little earlier, like, it was a great scary movie. Like,
it's like a YA horror movie.
Yeah,
is what I thought.
It really was. And it was really almost goosebumpish in its in its storytelling.
But the way YA is now, where it's a little more adult, that's why adults can like YA now and not goosebumps.
And like, you know, I made sure that, you know, at the end of everything, ask him what questions he had. The only thing he didn't understand is he didn't know what incontinent meant. And I had to explain that to him.
I think this movie too doesn't, which I like. I shared in a Deadspin article with you guys, I think, where
I think I commented back on that.
Yeah, you did. I just tweeted it out. Yeah, and it, I think it nails some things about the movie that I agree with, but I also think that it was a diatribe just against M. Night Shyamalan as a filmmaker, like just a Jeremiah against this guy who makes movies. Because, like, I do agree that his ego probably didn't let him let go enough to just let them be kids who wanted to make a movie, that one of them had to be this pretentious filmmaker person. But at the same time, it's also she's a great character. Like, it makes the movie make more sense.
I think that was, I mean, my thing was, is I watched it as that was probably him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I thought, is he was probably making a movie where, I mean, he made the main character the girl, but that was probably what he was like. Probably he obviously beefed it up some. He was probably not that well versed in, cinematic terminology and things like that. But I mean, I think he based it somewhat off that. So I felt it was a pretty honest character. I agreed. I thought the article made a lot of good points about him, I think is what I said to you. But he went into it knowing what he wanted to write about it. Because the points were good about M. Night Shyamalan. They weren't good, I didn't think, as much about the
film.
Visit.
Yeah.
You know what I too was kind of like at first a little put off by the filmmaking, like all the comments she would make or the film terminology she would use while she was doing stuff.
Kirsten Dunst light.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking. Then I started thinking, like, oh well, you know what she's just done is he is just, if let's say there's those few kids out there who are watching and who want to be filmmakers, he just opened up their world to what this stuff, why he explained to them what he was doing while he was doing it. Like, you need the camera to do this, you need the character to do this, because then it draws your attention to this.
Right. I thought, go ahead.
No, and I thought that was, and what I kind of thought as, oh, Jesus Christ, this is just, you know, he's just jerking himself off here.
Right.
Then I thought, well, like we said, the younger kids that were in there, the kids who have never seen an M. Night movie, just got a really basic lesson in filmmaking.
I mean, I think he did what a lot of us would like to do. I think he wrote himself as he would like to have been at that point, too. He wished he would have known that much,
or
to
just
have been,
like,
able to do that.
Just like every character in Joss Whedon or Dawson's Creek, though, we wish we could have spoken that way in high school. We didn't speak that way.
It's like why we like the book The Shotgun Rule. You know, Charlie Houston wrote a group of kids that, you know, we think are really cool. Or why we like Stephen King's It. Because that's Stephen King writing himself as a young kid.
Right.
That's why he keeps revisiting it. I think that conceit is both dumb and brilliant, because it's dumb because it's just this thing to show, like, oh, I'm M. Night. I can't just let it be a found footage movie. It has to have this, like, auteur feeling about it with this character who knows all this shit. Like, I have to let you know that I know this shit. But it's brilliant because it's not just another found footage movie conceit. And, like, I think that's the more brilliant part about it, is that it's not just like, oh, we have this camera because we like to film stuff. And that's, even though, like, I like found footage a lot. I might be the biggest proponent on the podcast for it, but, like, I think a lot of them have a really shallow reason for existing. And this movie doesn't.
Yeah, no, I always back you up on that as well. I enjoyed it as well. I liked seeing mm-hmm. it done well. I think I sat there and said it's because it's really easy to do. I can't remember the way I said it, but it's something I said. But it's really easy to do, but it's really hard to do
correctly.
Something like that. I don't know. There's something very pithy I said one time about it.
Ooh. But,
I think it. I mean, I do one thing that I found absolutely enjoyable about the movie as well, and I know some people might have found it stupid and silly too. I thought it had a great sense of humor, and yeah. I thought the little rapping kid was hilarious.
I did too. I thought he. I mean, Kate thought he was the best part of the movie, and she
he
like
was
she's
so charming.
She found she's not a fan of horror movies, and she loved like his aspect of that film.
Well, I didn't mind the kid. I hated the rapping. It made me so uncomfortable. It felt like Robin Williams rapping.
But that's what a kid. But again, I go back to that. That's what a dumb little white kid's gonna
sure,
do.
I can,
you know?
I mean, I can see that. I guess you're right. But at the same time,
I agree with you, Brian. Like I kind of liked it, but I also cringed inwardly at it.
That's what it was. It was cringy to me. Like I mean, it didn't bother Jackson. He didn't think it was weird. But I was like, oh god.
It was all straight up just done for the jokes. They were easy jokes, and that's the thing. I mean, it was easy to do.
It also breaks the tension of what could have just been a plodding, like turn of the screw style, haunted house movie.
True.
It needed something, and I think. He's not as dry as like some of his films make me think he is. Like Sixth Sense and Unbreakable and like Signs was a funny movie.
But those first two are humorless.
They are so dry.
Oh my god.
The Village is humorless.
Unbreakable may be one of the most depressing films I've ever seen too.
It's just a lot of like scenes of people getting like
aching.
Not being happy. Yeah.
In rain.
Yeah.
Lots of rain.
Just
and
like
water.
The Yeah, no, that...
It's weird that he made two films in a row in which a major element of the film is ostensibly allergic to water.
Do you ever... You know what I always find interesting about his movies?
Then made The Lady in the Water, sorry.
he never has... there's never a... The parents of the main character are never... They're always single parents, whether they be dad or a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth Sense. I mean, I guess Unbreakable. That's not true. So I'm wrong. But Signs, it's true.
The Village, I have no idea.
The Village is true because Sigourney. Yeah,
William Hurt is not.
William Hurt isn't married.
William Hurt.
Hurt.
And I don't remember anyone else from it.
Last Airbender, did he even have parents? The Happening, Mark Wahlberg is a single dad, isn't he?
What's happening?
The Happening.
I think, I'll tell you.
Is that tree attacking us?
That movie is so underrated for the fact that it deserves a place in really entertaining 70s nature attacks movies, which I loved growing up, like Day of the Animals and all that stuff, and now we're just making this shitty version where nature attacks. Like, watch it as a terrible movie, and it's entertaining. That's the thing. It was not...
I've only seen The Happening once. I didn't
hate it. I did not hate it as much as I wanted to, because at that point I was just, when the reviews, because I saw the trailer and I was like, oh yeah. But then when the movie came out,
it often just falls. Yeah. And just like the lawnmower.
The lawnmower scene. Like, but when it came out, I was like, oh, duped again by Shyamalan. Like, great premise, terrible movie. So
Mark
I watched
Wahlberg
it.
Is a history teacher. What?
It had to convince me that it wasn't shitty. So I think I'd like to watch it now.
We had a badly masked version of the movie we saw, so you could at the theater that we saw it at, so you could see the boom mic, and so that just added to people just thinking that he's the shittiest filmmaker. That was the one thing that I kept defending. I was like, no, the one thing he's not going to mess up is that he might be telling you a terrible story. He's not going to film a boom mic. Like,
why?
That.
What is okay? So I have a question. Why is that his like? What is his weakness? Like, what is happening? Because I don't think
Yeah, I think he's better. He thinks he's a better storyteller than he is. He's a good visual storyteller. Like, the weaknesses in his films isn't the visual storytelling. The Village still looks great. Lady in the Water, The Happening, they all look good.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no denying that. I mean, even Lady in the Water is it's so far out there that it's hard to, you can't take it seriously. Like,
but it sums up why he's bad, though.
He
makes himself the writer who can save the world.
Yeah, he really...
Literally, that's what he writes.
He had three amazing films back to back. That would give anybody a big head. And then, you know, he's like, oh, okay, the village wasn't that great. Okay, but, you know, everyone has one. And then it starts becoming a, you know, I'm sure it started eating at his ego, too. Like his, okay, the next one's going to be the best. And then it wasn't the best.
And then none of them.
And then everything kind of just snowballed into nothing. And then, you know, it's the, he had to get knocked down to nothing to be able to get back to what made him a good story. He's a good story. I mean, it's a good story.
He self-financed this one. Had to do it to do everything he wanted.
Oh, and, you know, it's made by Blumhouse Films.
They have they have a monopoly on horror movies.
Well, you know what they,
Jason Blum is all over.
You know, Jason Blum's like his business strategy is he won't spend more than $5 million on a film.
Like he didn't. I mean, he didn't pay for that. I mean, he paid to distribute it. Sure. I assume, and, but, and some producing.
And that's his thing, is that he will produce a movie, and that's why we see so many Blumhouse production things. Is that if he believes in your story, he will give you the $5 million to make your movie, and you have $5 million to make your movie. If he loses he's going to make $5 million back
on the next Paranormal Activity.
Right. So he's not. So it's a pretty. It's
win-win.
You know, I mean, I guess at that point you put out a lot of shit. Every once in a while you get something really good.
Also, was an Oscar nominee.
What did he get Oscar nominated for?
Whiplash. They produced.
That's right. He produced Whiplash. Yeah. You're right.
Weird. Which is an awesome movie.
But they are. But he is
kind of a horror movie.
It is. I mean, the whole time through it, I felt watching Black Swan. Like, yeah. I don't know what's gonna happen.
Black Swan.
Kill him. I really thought that he was going to come and kill J.K.
Yes.
Simmons. That's what I thought was gonna
there
happen.
There was that at the end. There was that level of like I'd been whipped up into such a frenzy at the
end.
Wait,
what? You'd been what?
Whipped into a frenzy.
Whiplashed into
that I was like by the end of Black Swan, it was almost you were exhausted because of what was going on with Natalie Portman, and at the end of Whiplash, you're exhausted by Miles
Teller's
it's like a breakthrough at the end. You're like, oh Jesus Christ!
If he had Mr. Fantastic arms in that, he would have been gone.
But yeah, as far as, I mean, M. Night's movies tend to, like, I just don't know what makes them bad. I guess, like, The Happening for me, if anything, it was boring and badly acted. Like, he's not a director's director. You know what I mean? Like, he's not out to get great performances. And I think even this one, the performances are a little off at parts, except for the woman who plays the grandmother. Who, do you guys know who she is?
No, Deanna Dunnigan's her name, but I don't know.
I thought basically
that she was Deborah Logan, but then take of Deborah Logan, and but then I, you know, after everything was done, I looked it up. I was like, okay, this isn't her. I was like, it was just her, like maybe in Deborah Logan, she was just made up. But yeah, she, and you know, I knew Drew had mentioned that he got it within 30 minutes, and I think.
I did. It was right under 30 minutes. When they drive by, when they're riding around their grandfather, and he sits there and mentions the hospital and says, oh, some of the people there, they just, nobody cares about them. They need some help. I was like, fuck, this is it.
So I want to blame Drew for making me
this
think.
This is going to be spoiler. Like, if you've made it this far, and like, do they do spoilers?
I don't think I'm going to. Well. I kept looking for something. I kept thinking, like, is the twist Alzheimer's? Because that's a horrible twist. Alzheimer's is a horrible disease.
He said that, but the thing is, you watch, and it becomes the problem that becomes with it is, having seen The Sixth Sense, you know what to look for at that point. And I started, once I nailed what I was looking for there, I started paying attention to things that I wouldn't have paid attention to except when I was watching The Sixth Sense the second time, which is, you know, Bruce Willis never talks to anybody or appears to anybody, but Haley Joel Osment. No one's ever home. The grandparents are never home when anyone shows up, and the camera gets messed up, it's all these things. The one time
you get like someone who, like the former drug addict who comes by, Stacy, I think her name
is.
Yeah. It's
the second time she comes by
the very obvious heated argument they're having with her. I was like, and then at the end, remembering all the things like.
There are no pictures around in the house at all. I mean, I noticed that. There's not a single picture around the house.
Did you hear about the shakeup down there at Shady?
They kept talking about the drama down there. Yeah. Yeah. I think he telegraphed it a little too much.
I don't know.
I was looking for it. I knew it was
your
coming.
Your average filmmaker, filmgoer is not going to get it. Like, I had in my head, and I was going for something really elaborate. Like, that was how he sort of like button hooked me was that I was going for like some really elaborate storyline. I was like, oh, well, these are the grandparents. They just let them out of the asylum to live out their days, and they didn't know
it's
that
like
the kids
Shutter
would come
Island.
Visit. Yeah, I kind of got the I thought Shutter Island for a while. I was like, is this a Shutter Island situation?
Shutter Island type sitch.
And it was, I think I got it like halfway through, but not. I was like, oh, I bet, because I didn't.
I'll admit it. I didn't get it until the.
Reveal?
I didn't get it until they did the reveal. I was like, oh shit.
I got it like half. I didn't get it 30 minutes in. I might have got it like 45 minutes in. Like when
halfway, yeah.
Like I don't know. Like I just started to put things together. I was like, it has to be something. Like I went through because like I thought maybe like
that's something like a Hansel and Gretel type situation.
Yeah, or like, is this going to be something I wouldn't guess? Like, is it a fable of some kind where I don't get what the characters are? Because she
found some book about how the sundowning was measure of something.
Is
else.
That real? Or did he make that
I
up?
I kept meaning to, Jackson asked me the same thing, and I was like, I'll look it up, and I just never did look it up.
Because it sounds like something you just make up.
I just thought like. I tried to pick
is
apart.
Is that really what Gordon Lightfoot was singing about?
I had to, like, I was trying to pick apart the specific elements. Like, she's puking everywhere, so maybe it's chemo. Like, maybe she's on, like,
it
near
is,
death.
It is a real thing.
Good.
It is a real thing.
So, God. And it makes the movie retroactively more horrifying for
it's
me.
Oh, yeah. Horrific. Like, that reveal and that story, that makes it terrifyingly awful.
When you realize they've been stuck in this house.
With
and he set that up so well with the parents, the mom who has not forgiven her parents for something that happened, 15 years before.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't have a relationship with them.
So she didn't.
She knew what they looked like. She never saw them. That's the thing. And that's why I love the scene where she sits there and talks about, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up your camera and tried to clean it with the oven cleaner. Like, that was another thing where I was like, well, this has got to be it now. Because why was the only thing? And they even, and like the girl says, well, the only thing that's messed up is the camera. And it's like, well, yeah, so no
maybe
one.
Maybe he did in retrospect. I mean, but maybe, like, is that him holding a low opinion of film goers, or are most film goers not going to, are they going to go like, duh, I didn't even see it coming?
I mean, I think that's one of those things where it's like it's like I said, I think it's him sixth-sensing it. So when people, oh, when you watch it again, you'll see all these, yeah, but dude, it's not sixth-sense, we're not going to watch it again. I enjoyed it that one time.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, going to watch it multiple times.
It's just a reveal, though. Like, I think people are taking shots at it like, oh, it wasn't even that big of a deal. It's like, well, it's not. And one thing the Deadspin article, I don't mean to take that article to task, but it just reminds me of that. Like, he's like, oh, they didn't even seem that shocked by it. And I was like, well, yeah, no, they did. Like, they totally seemed really shocked by this. They just handled it better than they, most people would.
Than most kids that age would, because
they're more mature.
Movie characters. I mean, that's still the thing. It's characters. I liked it. I thought that reveal was great. I mean, it's like, well, I mean, I do that in watching any slasher movie. You're trying to figure out who's the killer. It's not it's a reveal, not a twist. Who's the killer? Most of the time, the answer is a lot lamer than this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was that guy they bullied when, high school.
I found this to be really, I thought that the conceit of this movie was really interesting. Like, the idea that, I mean, and it's not something you've not seen before. So it's not just like, oh, we pulled this out of our ass. Like, we've seen this idea before in other things. Like, oh, it's ostensibly wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, it's really just Little Red Riding Hood writ large.
It's also, like, it's also a very something that I would also have, I feel like I would have read in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That the mom, those aren't your grandparents.
Right.
When that reveal, I was waiting for that to see how she said it and all, because that's a big point.
Those aren't your grandparents.
I love that she doesn't believe it at first. Like, that's not your grandparents. Where are your grandparents?
Yeah.
Like that's, how, as a parent, I get, we go back to what we were joking about earlier. As a parent, like, what would be your reaction?
I guess I would, like, what she did, like, try to get up there as quick as possible.
It's so far from, I did like, though, did they, like, when she called the cop, it's like the only cop in town was the one guy that when they were making up the story.
It was the same name. Yeah. I thought that,
so they
too.
Were that right?
I thought that, too. And I had the same thing. It's like, wow, that was him. And then, yeah, no, that, like, I couldn't even imagine that Like, look, I think the next movie, the sequel, is just the drive up to the.
But you can't imagine for reasons of it's. There's no way it could happen.
Oh,
in
there's
the situation
no,
you're in. Like, so this is the thing.
I mean, there's no way my kid's going someplace where I don't make some kind of eye contact with someone before.
But, I mean, who's in the situation? Like, I mean, you're going to have talked to your parents. I mean, it's like he's seen his grandparents. I mean, there it's just such a wild scenario in that regard. It'd be difficult to to pull off in reality. It's a nice movie conceit, but it's hard to pull off in reality.
Yeah, like I mean, there are holes that I think of, like plot holes that would. I guess she wouldn't have any pictures of her parents either, like
I
mean, she hasn't contacted them. I mean, I guess she wouldn't put them up. I mean, there's
she left when she was a teenager, maybe not. Also, the asylum, would they not be on the lookout for anybody?
Well, I mean, I guess that was the big to do. I guess they just never thought that they would be there.
They never thought
know?
That they would come to the place, and that like.
But I agree.
It was so
like the two, like the two beloved. Counselors
who are all of a sudden not showing up, and then the two inmates asylum,
who are nearly the same age, who would be perfect, you know, stand-ins.
God.
And there is a picture of them with them.
Well, we see that very late too. Like that's and that's the only picture that's the funny thing. That's the only picture that apparently was up in the whole house, but we never saw any of these pictures. Like that's the thing, because they got rid of all the other pictures, but they left that
well,
one.
Well, and it, you know, we mentioned. The Shutter Island kind of idea, and also, I mean, the old lady, the supposed grandmother, killed her own kids.
Nana
killed her own kids.
Yeah,
by throwing them in a lake.
But and then
that was a very strange.
I thought that would. I think that was a poor red herring on his part. I thought he was trying to like throw in. I think he was trying to throw in to get people to sit there. Oh, maybe it's like some sort of alien thing that's taken over. Because that was when she tells that story there right there. I'm like. Oh, Jesus Christ. I hope it's what I first thought and not this. Because if it's this, that's going to
that
ruin
is
it
crazy.
All.
This is bananas.
It's just him knocking Scientology?
What was that moment just her revealing too much about her? Like her not being self-aware enough to... I mean, because he does... The grandfather does it too.
Yeah.
God, just,
he believes it, yeah.
Oh, man. Just the scene with all the... the diapers and the
well, and then I really you know, and at first I thought that we're gonna get like a the woman type situation where in that
I thought there was something that they were
something
keeping,
something they were keeping.
I thought that was even better though that he was just that he had, was hiding his diapers.
Yeah,
like that's a that was even
first
better.
Of all because then you start realizing like because at first when I saw that I was like that's kind of crazy because I mean couldn't you just
throw
them
away?
Yeah. I mean
instead
I
of drag them into the woods to burn them.
Yeah, but I know it's I know it's crazy and embarrassing, but. I did get asked if I wore the adult diapers. And I said explain incontinence and adult diapers. Jackson asked me, he's like, do you wear adult diapers? Like, no, I'm not there yet, buddy.
Still got hopefully a few decades.
I'm still all right.
Can I just mention, that hide-and-seek sequence is terrifyingly just crazy, too. Yeah. Early on in the movie, we're like, what's going on? I thought this would be like a later movie scene. Like, what's going on?
That,
and like,
that's what I'm like.
These people are crazy.
When Tyler mentioned the grandma, the Nana being a great character, she really was batshit. She played batshit crazy very well.
But she came and she like laughed and was like, "I'm making lemonade" or something like that.
I'll make us some bread or whatever she said. Yeah, like,
and then her dress was stuck.
And
up
that's why I was like, "Oh, Alzheimer's."
I mean, it's also great because
let's have a moment for that sweet ass on that old woman. Come on, guys.
Funny thing, Kate didn't want me to mention it, but she was like, for an older lady, she looked good.
Naked? Oh, yeah. I'd hit it. She wouldn't
like,
remember.
I bet she was really pretty when she was younger.
We said, nice.
It also felt like, I mean, it's great in this movie, too, because you want these kids to have a good time. Like, that's the natural order of things. Right. It's like, you just want them, like, I think... It's a cheap move, but it's a great move to have like teenage or child protagonists because you don't wish them ill the way that we do with most horror characters. Like if these people, if they were older, we'd be like, ah, fuck it. Like,
asshole teenagers. We
and that was the other thing is they're not asshole kids.
They're precocious. They're precocious.
Especially
you know?
For kids who seem to have had a shitty time with what has happened to them in their life. They seem to be pretty decent kids.
Yeah, they are Spielbergian in a sense. Yeah. Like they remind me more of Spielberg characters.
Yeah, it was. I I had a Super 8. I had moments of Super 8 in my head, too, yeah. when I was watching them.
I mean, it's a movie about, it's a film about filmmaking, and I like those kinds of movies. I think it's easy to make it overwrought, and this movie has a little bit of that, but it's still really good.
Yeah, I thought it balanced everything out pretty nicely. It, you know, it had some scares that were genuine, but they weren't.
Oh, that
over the top. The bed scene.
The what?
The bed, like when she's on the bed and but, the Nana's under the fucking bed, like even giggling that, and clawing for her.
When Nana finds the camera up on the mantle and just
broke out in chill bumps.
Jackson jumped so high at that spot. I just laughed. But yeah, like during that scene where the Nana is under the bed trying to claw up, his only words were, "This should have been rated R."
Is that what he said?
Yeah. And then at the end, walking back out to the car, he goes, "I guess my grandparents aren't that weird."
That's excellent. The scene where she takes the camera up with the knife, like in thinking back, that scene is more horrific because had she gotten in, there was still a veil of safety hanging over the film at that point, like, Nana's crazy, but she wouldn't kill him because she's ostensibly their grandmother.
Right.
But in retrospect, she would have totally murdered those kids if she had gotten in.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You know, Jackson got a, I'll take the heat as a, you know, a parent, a spoiled kid, but Jackson got a GoPro for his birthday.
What? I'm serious.
And I didn't realize that it had its own Wi-Fi system built into it, so you can hook your iPad or iPhone up to it, put it somewhere else in the house, and control the camera through your iPad or iPhone. And
that's,
I thought, awesome. as watching
that's
the visit,
kind of like the camera we have, then we have a wireless camera. Yeah, too. Yeah,
yeah. But as watching the visit, I thought to myself, like, how odd would it be to like have to, like, you're watching like the grandmother outside the door on your iPad through your GoPro outside of your room, knowing that that person's on the other side of the door, and what you're seeing is like really happening.
Do you think?
I also thought it'd be really awesome to bang on that game. I was like, man, shit, I could just control this with an iPad.
Close ups.
I can see what my ass looks like.
It would just be a really bad angle because you wouldn't be able to concentrate on both things at once.
Oh, here's what it'd be like. I'd be like, all right, oh.
I'm not. I hate. Maybe I'm just gonna go turn this off.
I'm just gonna play video games, all right? I'm really depressed.
Maybe tomorrow. Do you think that the grandfather would have killed the kids? Like, did he? Was he?
By the end of it. He seemed even worse by the end of it because he seemed aware and psychopathic as opposed to the mother who seemed, the grandmother who seemed more schizophrenic and yeah.
He was there just to make her happy.
Yeah.
No,
and
like,
as soon as they weren't making her happy, he would have killed them. Is what he even said. He didn't like the little boy anyway.
I didn't like you anyway. I don't know. I guess he would have. Like, but what was his crime? He just sort of lost his mind because he could see the white thing or whatever.
Yeah, there's that.
But they were husband and wife, correct?
I don't know.
They had to have. They couldn't have just been.
Yeah, because they mentioned the kid. He mentions the kids, doesn't he?
I mean, there's the thing. They do, and so they could easily have been husband and wife, and I think that's what most people are going to assume, but we're never explicitly told. They could have just met in the asylum, and he knows what happened to her kid, and he's now protective of her in that sense because that is now who he is in love with. We just don't know, as far as I recall.
Having shit rubbed on my face from an incontinent 79-year-old's diaper
As well as being a germaphobe.
Which that was the thing I thought was the lamest.
There was no need for that. I mean, even if you weren't a germaphobe, I'm not a germaphobe, and getting shit wrapped and wiped in my face would have been horrible.
It didn't add anything. There was not one point in the movie where it added any.
God,
I bet
it was like all acid.
Like are you talking about the C plot of germaphobe?
C plot, germaphobe. The pointless no plot.
I don't even think we need that for it to be humiliating at the end. Yeah,
no, we don't, because anyone rubbing shit on me would have been.
Yeah,
I also don't. I also think the football thing is sort of was half-assed, like where he's like tackling him, like get the ball, like it's motivation, but
the way they tie that into the dad disappearing,
right? Yeah,
and it almost felt like Signs with a tell tell him to swing away.
That's M. Night. I mean, that's his true tendencies kind of coming out, because that is what's going there. I did love, speaking of balls in the movie, when he was playing with the tennis ball, is like, this is how kids play.
I did like,
it's the worst.
Yeah.
And he's just like spinning around.
Like a dog. That's how a dog plays.
It's like whenever I was younger and I would scare my sister and then run back into the bedroom and pretend like I didn't, and like my parents would come in and I'd be sitting there doing like some weird like counting on my hands, like, oh, I'm just doing my multiplication tables. I haven't been up scaring people.
I'm just counting my numbers.
That doesn't even make sense, Mom. I'm just sitting here. Your sister is crying and you're saying you didn't go in the room and scare her.
You were counting on your Freddy glove.
Right.
I always wear this.
What were you doing? I don't know. Like, that's always the giveaway. What were you doing? I don't know.
Mom, you're crazy. Are you even hear yourself?
I don't.
Casey, I wasn't in the room. God, that's crazy.
What do you think you were doing? I don't know. I wasn't. Yeah. This movie, I like, for a, how did it do? It ended up, what, second?
Second,
no, it was behind Perfect Guy.
It wasn't behind the Jesus movie, the Christing movie?
No, War Room won the weekend before, and this weekend Perfect Guy won.
Who's Perfect Guy by?
I don't know who it's by, but it's the one, it's the newest, you know, psycho killer thriller.
Jennifer Lopez?
No.
Jesus, I don't even know what's going on anymore.
I can't remember who all's in it, but I'm blanking on the guy's name.
Morris Chestnut.
Yes, he is one of the...
Is he? Morris. That was just a wild guess.
Morris Chestnut?
Pretty.
Blair Underwood?
No.
Morris Chestnut.
Michael Ealy, is that the guy?
Speaking of not knowing of things that are going on, I looked at the Spotify top...
Michael Ealy, I was right. Yeah.
Top 50 pop list on Spotify today, and I went through and was like, I know none of these people. Like, none of these names. The only name that made sense was Taylor Swift and Adam Levine. And I was like, oh, I know who they are. But the rest of them was like, I don't know who any of these people are. I've hit that age. I don't know.
I have hit the opposite where I only listen to audiobooks and podcasts. So I only catch songs from terrestrial radio from being in Kate's car going places. And like in LA. Every song that I listen to now was a song that I heard in LA. I was like, well, I know it. It's not good, but I'm going to play Jason Derulo. Like,
well, you got me into that song, too.
I love that song. It's a good song.
That and the Weekend with no...
Yeah.
I can't say no 30. I'm with you. No 30.
Yeah, no 30.
There are E's.
That guy was homeless.
Whoa.
That sounded apropos of nothing.
I saw a preview for a movie...
I did too.
In this, well, I saw a preview for The Green Inferno, which only showed reactions. I was like, oh, this is not going to be good.
I'm tired of the reaction trailer. That doesn't make me want to go see a horror movie.
Just so you know,
it's hype. It's not a trailer showing the movie. It's hype. Like, it's selling hype. And God damn it, Eli Roth, that's all he's ever sold is hype. Like, he's never sold a film.
Well, you know, Friday we get Cooties and Hellions, which I'm not sure if they're both on VOD, but they may be. Okay. So we'll get those. But the preview was for that movie called Captive about the purpose-driven life.
Yeah.
And
but it's not about the purpose-driven life. It's about Ashley Smith.
Right, but
it's weird. Which is it about?
But the reviews, like every review given was by some religious Baptist.
Yeah. Oh, I saw
like,
that.
What the hell am I watching?
Yeah.
I saw the preview
both of those people in there are, I've liked them as actors and actresses. I don't know what's going on with the world. And then there's a football movie coming out where it's got big, like, the only, you know, John 3:16 on the, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. It's about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted to be the winning team, so he asked God, and God punished the other team, but made his
course.
Team win.
He smote them.
Yeah.
So would you guys recommend The Visit?
Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes.
Yes, 1,000 times yes.
I would recommend it, and I would say even if you have kids that, I would say, you know, Jackson's 9, but 9, 10, it's a good, scary kids movie. Like,
it's the kind of thing you would have liked as we would have liked as kids.
Totally.
It wasn't like real horror, though. Like, you might have been able to get away with watching, you know, without having to sneak it.
Yeah,
yeah, there's the scene with seeing the dead bodies, but that's fine.
But the gore is very minimal, mm-hmm. and I mean
almost non-existent.
It's more of a gross out thing too, yeah. like the poop and the.
I like what you said. It's like a scary story to read in the dark or something. Yeah. Like that. It's like those are horrifying. I remember getting one from the junior high library. I can't remember what the anthology was called. It was terrifying.
The scary stories you've
ever
heard.
Maybe even a longer Tales from the Crypt. You know, like if the grandparents would have been just a little creepier, and it would have been. I mean, you could have shrunk this down to Tales from the Crypt length.
Oh yes, I mean yeah, but certainly you could have gotten rid of all the germophobia and anything with the football, and we don't really need any talk of the dad.
Yeah, I mean, because the whole ending of like of hanging don't hang on to, you know, the message the mom gave. I was like this.
But I liked
forgiveness.
It
was good. Yeah. I loved it.
I thought it was a good movie.
Good return to form for M. Night.
Hopefully this will spark just like maybe this will be his.
Maybe
like,
we'll start the rest of the Unbreakable trilogy.
Or he will just start making sort of small-minded, that's not what I mean. Like modestly budgeted. Sorry, modestly budgeted films. Like instead of saying like I'm gonna make this sci-fi epic that no one will watch.
After Earth is terrible.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I still said I think the biggest place where they missed out is never hiring him to adapt any of the comic book movies when they were starting to become a big thing. I think he would have done a really good job. I really wanted him to be given Green Lantern originally. I think he could have done a really cool job with a kind of a darker, but a very... He was a good storyteller in that sense. And I think that was the problem where his career went awry was that he never was given something where he could just tell a straight-up story. He had to do the twist because that's what he became known as. And that's what he started to do.
Enough to that even, Robot Chicken makes jokes about, right. What a twist!
But this is good. It's awesome. Enjoyable.
Agreed.
Yeah, go see it. And, you know, I'm sorry if we ruined it for you, but it was still, I mean, Drew got it in 30. Tyler got it in halfway through. I didn't get it.
Brian didn't even understand it after Jackson explained
right,
it to him.
Right, Jackson was like, Daddy, you're an idiot. I was like, I know, buddy.
But why was it scary? Like, what were the grandparents doing?
You actually asked Jackson about incontinence, didn't you?
I was like, hey... I do have these adult diapers. Let's just keep that between. Let's keep it on the down low. Shit in my pants. All right, guys. Watch The Visit. It's great. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Drew.
Thanks for listening.
Lona, we hope you're still alive.